Earth and Sky.
Welcome to Clear Voices. I'm Jorge Salazar. A group of engineers is working to change the world for the billions of people who lack access to the basics: clean water, energy, sanitation, and education. The group is called Engineers Without Borders. I spoke with founder Bernard Amade, who in 2007 co-received the Heinz Award for the Environment. Amade talked with me about his vision of sustainable engineering. Here is Bernard Amade. Dr. Amade, welcome to Earth and Sky. Could you point us to maybe an example of a project going on right now that would be of interest to Earth and Sky listeners?
We are working on a pretty large project in Rwanda. Rwanda is located in Central Africa near Uganda and Kenya. This is a community of about 50,000 people that survived the genocide of 1994. So in that community, we are helping on different issues. We are helping with water and water catchment, rainwater catchment systems, so water quality, water quantity. We are also helping with solar energy. For instance, we installed some photovoltaic solar panels on top of the clinic so that the clinic in the community can have enough electricity. We are also helping on the educational side with a vocational school in the community. This is a vocational school of about 240 young people between the age of 12 and 18 who are looking forward to be essentially carpenters, car mechanics, electricians. Those young people are looking for a skill. So we are working on several fronts. A few months ago, I was in Nepal. We are starting many projects in Nepal, actually about in 40 different villages in the eastern part of Nepal and in the Ilam district in collaboration with a local NGO. And there in Nepal, we worked on construction of pit latrines. We built 14 pit latrines, and we also worked on the construction of spring catchment systems so people can collect the water and use it accordingly. We are planning to go back next year there and construct more pit latrines, more spring catchment systems, but also introduce micro-hydro so we can produce electricity from rivers. And also we are planning to bring to the community photovoltaic equipment.
What's the biggest challenge possibly that your organization faces?
That's a very good question. If all problems in the world were technical, we would have solved them by now. I can guarantee you that. I think that there are many obstacles that we are experiencing on projects, and none of them are technical. I think that the kind of technology that we are talking about is called appropriate technology. So it's a technology that is designed for the community, that has to be understood by the community, that can be used by the community, that can be fixed by the community. And ultimately, it's a technology that makes people's lives better and also can create jobs. That part is relatively easy. I'm not saying it's easy, it's relatively easy. The big obstacles have nothing to do with the technology. Obstacles come with cultural issues are very important, social issues are very important, political issues are very important, and also corruption. Corruption is extremely strong in many countries around the world, and actually in most countries around the world at different levels. And so how do we deal with corruptions at the local level, at the regional level, at the country level? That's the most that's the most difficult part. So as engineers, the kind of engineering that we do is quite different from traditional engineering. Traditional engineering is mostly providing technical solutions, and that's the kind of engineering that we do in Western countries, and that works well. But the engineering in the developing world is a different type of engineering because we need to account for those non-technical issues. And there are no textbooks that essentially teach young people how to do that kind of engineering. And that kind of engineering, I call it social engineering, bottom of the pyramid type of engineering, compassionate type of engineering, engineering with heart. It's a different type of engineering. I like the term social engineering, although some people say that's not a good term, but I think social engineering best describes what we are trying to do, which is not just provide technical solutions to the community, but we're also providing hope to the community. We're also providing ways for the community to get back on its feet. The technology has to be sustainable. And ultimately, the technology has to be a way for the community to get out of poverty, a way to provide jobs and opportunities for the community.
when people think of the environment and engineering, they don't typically think of sustainable engineering, engineering with the heart, or social engineering, as you've described.
I think that we have seen over the past 200-300 years during the Industrial Revolution a form of engineering that has not been too good for the planet. Essentially, an engineering that has provided a technical wonderland, but that has also left behind a technical wasteland. For most engineers, taking care of the environment, taking care of people, is not part of the equation. The concept of a nerdy engineer is still true today. Engineers solve problems, and it's until recently that engineers have to think about the social and economic and environmental implication of their work. The traditional way of thinking about engineering, someone told me that, and I like it very much, is, I like it, because it best reflects essentially the past 300 years of engineering, is if brute force does not work, try harder. That has been a traditional way of doing engineering, and that's the best way of describing how we built, the big infrastructure that we still see today. So if brute force doesn't work, try harder. Well, that's not too gentle to the planet, you know. This aspect of engineering has to change, and there's a slowly changing in engineering profession today. More and more professions are talking about sustainability. It seems to be a buzzword, but at least they start talking about it. They are building awareness. And I think over time we're going to see a change in the way we are doing engineering, from engineering that is not too good for the planet to an engineering that is good for the planet. And it's a new mindset. And that mindset, I think, is going to come from the youth. I think the youth today is much more aware of the challenges of the planet. And I think the youth today, under the right type of guidance, will make the change in the engineering profession.
What inspired you to want to become an engineer and also to eventually direct your energies toward the service of others?
That's an interesting question. My dad was a bricklayer. My brother is a bricklayer. My grandfather was a bricklayer. So I came from a family of bricklayers. And the only reason I did not end up a bricklayer is because my dad told me, well, stay at school until you cannot take it anymore. And I'm still at school. So I was interested in the area of construction, always interested in the area of construction. My summer months were spent when I was young working as an apprentice to be a bricklayer. So I have a lot of respect for that profession. Then I went into engineering. It's until recently, about maybe 20 years, well, recently, 20 years that I really became interested in being of service to humanity. For a long time, I worked at the Boulder Shelter for the Homeless to help homeless. I was a clown for a while. I was helping at the hospital, as a children's hospital, to help in the oncology section. I felt a strong need to be of service to humanity. And so Engineers Without Borders pretty much came at the right time in my life, kind of midlife crisis. You know, I had done engineering for the 1 billion rich, big engineering, bigger the better, and I was ready to do small-scale engineering for the 5 billion poor. And I find the latter being of better use of my time and of my heart and of my compassion. I like it very much. So that's the kind of work that I want to do when I grow up, to be of service to humanity, bring peace into the world. My mission right now is the money that I'm getting from the Heinz Foundation. Most of the money will go into helping creating vocational schools around the world, schools that where young people between the age of 12 and 18 can be given opportunities that they can become bricklayers, they can become carpenters, and they can become car mechanics, or they can install, they can learn to install photovoltaic panels. So the idea is to give skills to young people. Half of the world's population today is below the age of 25. By 2020, half of the world's population is below the age of 15. I was reading the other day that in North Africa and in the Middle East, we need to come up with 100 million jobs by 2020 to essentially employ the youth in that area. I mean, these are numbers that are right there. And I do believe that if we don't empower the youth today with solutions that are very healthy for the planet, and that includes introducing them to sustainability, green design, giving them skills, vocational skills, we all benefit from it. We all are going to have a world that is much more peaceful, a world that where the youth has a chance to express its creativity in a very healthy ways. Otherwise, we are all into trouble. So that's how I want to spend the money. Most of the money of this award is really to empower the youth in healthy ways through vocational schools, by creating vocational schools in selected countries around the world.
That was Bernard Amade, founder of Engineers Without Borders. I'm Jorge Salazar for Earth and Sky, a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.